all of you who may be interested in staying in Sicily, eating in Sicily, and drinking in Sicily. We continue our little tour. And who's up first, Rabbit?
Well, first of all, we should say you're listening to On the Menu Radio with Ann and Peter Haig.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is our second week covering our trip to Sicilia, and it includes some of the places that we stayed. We ate at most of them as well, but the most important thing about them is the welcoming atmosphere of all of these places, how they make you feel really at home, and how each of these properties is in its own way unique.
Yeah, but as we talk to various chefs, we'll also get some inkling of the style of cooking of Sicilian cuisine.
Right. But first up, a wonderful place called the Kempinski Mazzara del Vallo. And it's something to do with gardens from Constance as well. All we know is we stayed there for several nights. We had a wonderful time. The service couldn't have been better.
That was great.
It was a great location out in the countryside. And the only unusual thing about it is they closed for the season 2 days after we checked out.
Yeah.
But
its season would be even more fun.
Mazzara is a very interesting town, one of the largest fishing ports in Italy. And we made a visit there, but the most important thing is the luxurious accommodation and the attention to every detail for your creature comforts at the Kempinski Mazzara. And here's the team there talking to us.
Well, we have been having the most marvelous stay at a hotel called the Kempinski Hotel. And to tell us a little bit about this, we have the sales manager for the hotel, Germana Abagnato, whose name sounds very much like my maiden name, actually. And Germana, you have been a delight, and you have helped us so much. You have worked for this hotel chain for a long time. And this particular hotel is called the Kempinski Hotel Giardino di Costanza. See?
This is the right name.
And it is located?
Well, the hotel is located in the western part of Sicily, just 1 hour driving from Palermo International Airport. Okay, so good morning to all. I'm representing the Kempinski Hotel Giardino di Costanza, which is the unique Kempinski property in Italy. Our five-star resort is part of the leading hotel, and it's immersed among olive groves and vineyards. The resort is an invitation to the authentic taste of Sicily, a passionate experience for those seeking wellness, relax, and gastronomic destinations.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. My favorite thing is this infinity pool and the cascading waterfall. Beautiful. and, of course, the service is outstanding. Let's talk a little bit about one of the things, of course, that makes it so wonderful. There's the spa, but there's also exercise room, which you'll need because you will eat so well here.
Yes, well, we have a 2,100 square meter spa with sauna, steam, and salt pool. And all our treatments are available for couples. We use products from the nature, like salt, sea salt, and lemon, and orange. Products coming from the territory, I would say.
Yeah, not regional, natural.
Yes,
very
yes,
good.
Yes.
Now, the executive chef, which is a very large job, because this hotel does a great deal of business, is Giovanni De Candido, and he is the executive chef here. Giovanni, welcome, and grazie providing us with such wonderful food since we've been here. Let's talk a little bit about you and your food. Why and how did you become a chef?
Buongiorno a tutti, intanto. Mio padre voleva che io diventassi un marinaio. Ho preferito concretizzare il mio sogno frequentando la scuola alberghiera di Palermo per diventare uno chef.
When still a child, my dream was to become a chef. My father would have me to become a sailor, but I followed my dream attending the school for hoteliers in Palermo.
He was going to be a sailor? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're a chef. Where did you work before arriving here?
La mia carriera lavorativa inizia su delle navi, collegano la Sicilia alle isole minori, dove svolgevo il compito di aiutante, dove andavo a lavorarci durante lo stacco della scuola in estate. Finito la scuola, ho fatto una piccola esperienza a Londra in un ristorante e dopo ho iniziato a viaggiare in Italia e all'estero. Le esperienze più significative rimangono quelle delle Maldive, dei Caraibi e diverse esperienze in montagna in Italia. Dopo girovagare mi sono fermato dopo qui al Kempinski, per dove lavoro già da 7 anni.
I started working the kitchen of some small boats as sous chef. Then I had the chance to make a short experience in London. But the most important and significant experiences for me were to work in the Maldives Islands. I came back in Italy in 2005 and then started working with Kempinski.
How did he find Kempinski and why did he come here?
Nel 2005 il Kempinski ha aperto un nuovo resort in Sicilia. Nella fase di pre-opening hanno iniziato la ricerca di posizioni chiave. Grazie alla mia passata esperienza internazionale ho avuto l'opportunità di essere assunto, prima come sous chef e dal 2009 sono stato promosso executive chef.
So in 2005 the Kempinski Hotels opened a new resort in Sicily, here in Mazara del Vallo. And during the pre-opening phase, they started searching the key positions for each department, including the kitchen. Thanks to my past international experience, I had the chance to get the job in this new hotel. My first position was as sous chef, and then in 2009, I was appointed executive chef.
Now, tell us this, chef. How would you describe your style of cuisine?
Se devo sintetizzare in poche righe, direi che do priorità all'utilizzo di materie prime freschissime, di qualità ed esclusivamente di stagione. Pochi grassi, delle cotture brevi, amo le verdure. Il pesce fresco e l'abbinamento di frutta e salato, dove si evidenzia la mia esperienza alle Maldive.
So my style is simply linked to the Sicilian kitchen tradition. The use of natural products of best quality, typically healthy Mediterranean recipe, and extra virgin olive oil. I love vegetables, fresh fish, and the combination of fruit with savory, influenced by my past experience in the Maldives and Caribbean.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, actually. We ate this food, but I wasn't aware of the influences until we're talking now. Chef, what are some of your favorite dishes?
Beh, posso dirvi che tra i miei preferiti ci sono i cannelloni al pistacchio ripieni di melanzane al fumo e spuma di pomodoro pachino, oppure il controfiletto di agnello farcito con zucchine al formaggio e una terrina di verdure allo zibibbo, oppure ancora la lasagnetta di granchio e avocado al lime, dove evidenzio la mia esperienza alle Maldive. In questo abbinamento frutta e salata.
My favorite dishes are cannelloni with green pistachios of Bronte, filled with smoked aubergine and tomato from Pacchino. My other favorite one is fillet of lamb, stuffed with zucchini, cheese and vegetables. Or still another one is the lasagna of crabfish, avocado and lime, remembering my past experience in the Caribbean islands.
Oh, yes. Well, we didn't taste the lamb, but we tasted a great many fish dishes, including the fish with the couscous, which was very typical, see. Yeah. Do you work with wine pairing or a sommelier to match the wines to dishes?
Sì, insieme al sommelier abbiamo cercato delle etichette che possano esaltare il sapore dei nostri piatti del ristorante Dubesi.
So our Enoteca del Mediterraneo offers more than 100 wine local and international labels. Most of them are, of course, Sicilian. Together with the sommelier, I prepared a wide combination of food and wine options in order to enhance tasting and flavors of the plates. Of course, we prefer to choose Sicilian wines, but we don't forget the wide offers from all Italy and Europe when it's convenient.
Yes, we should mention that there are many options for dining in the restaurant here. You can do a degustación, you could arrange a tasting menu, you can order a la carte, you can order special dishes, many, many different ways of approaching the dining scene. Chef, I guess we mentioned some of the influences on you, but just to get more specific, are there special chefs that you admire or any mentors that have influenced you?
Tra i miei chef preferiti, di cui ne vado anche fiero essendo siciliano, è Ciccio Sultano.
Ah sì,
che mi ha molto influenzato nel mio tipo di cucina, ma resto anche incantato, anche se non è siciliano, dal maestro Hans Beck, il tipo di impostazione della cucina e tutto quello che ne concerne.
Do you get to travel a lot?
The chef I prefer in Sicily is Ciccio Sultano, and okay. Also I have a great admiration for Mr. Hans Beck. I would love to work with him one day.
Then I asked, I guess out of order, does he get to travel and work with other chefs?
Ma dei chef, ho avuto molta influenza da uno chef tedesco che si chiama Thomas Mayer.
So I've been influenced very much with a German chef. His name is
Thomas Mayer.
Thomas Mayer.
Poi ho avuto diversi chef sia italiani che esteri. Quando ero all'estero avevo dei chef locali che mi hanno aiutato anche ad inserirmi nei vari alberghi o ristoranti dove sono stato.
So my experience includes a lot of contact with the international chefs from all over the world, and my actual style becoming from the combination of all this advice, all these suggestions I had in the past. And also together with the Sicilian tradition, which is the most important point of my cuisine. Yeah. I think that Sicilian cuisine changed a lot in the past 10 years. The new trend arrived with the revalidation of old recipes coming from the tradition, going back to the ancient principles of the most genuine Sicilian kitchen, the use of fresh and light products, always preserving the Norman and the Arabian influence. In short, I think that the great revolution was to come back to the origin. So this is what I try to enhance in my plates and what I try to include in my a la carte menu that I present in my restaurant, at the Dubaisi restaurant.
Well, our next guest is Johnny Ciotta, who is the pastry chef at the Kempinski Hotel Giardino di Costanza. And this is a very, very important job because the Sicilians adore their desserts and their pastries, and they have a very rich tradition of this. I mean, they're iconic desserts around the globe, actually. Well, Johnny, thank you for coming and talking to us.
Thank you to you. Good morning, everyone.
Now, Johnny, you'll notice, speaks very good English because he spent 7 years in outside of London.
I hope so.
Yeah, but let's start with not only why did you become a chef, but why did you pick pastry? It's such a precise art.
Well, I usually like to tell a story about it. When I was a young boy, probably 10 years old, it was a Sunday morning when I went with my parents to a pastry shop. As everybody knows, in Italy it's part of the culture to have a dessert after a nice Sunday lunch. I took a look at all the cakes displayed and I was breathless for their beautiness. I couldn't understand how anyone could make something so creative.
They are beautiful, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. So for the next few days, I couldn't stop thinking about it until I decided to tell my mom, look, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I knew that was going to be my job. So here I am.
Oh, well, now, did you study? Did you go to a school?
Well, my school was actually a pastry shop here in my hometown for about 8 years. Then I went to the army. When I came back home, I went to England. I had a chance to go to England. So,
yeah, continue. Tell us a little more outlining your career.
A few years later, I started to work in a pastry shop, as I said before. Obviously, the first few months, I was only helping the executive chefs. And in the meantime, I kept trying to catch as many secrets as possible. After this experience, it was giving me the chance to go and work in England, in a casino, where I used to make desserts for a restaurant inside of it.
Did you do English desserts?
Well, from all over the world, not just English, but Italian, Swedish, a little bit of everything, even French.
The English like their desserts too.
They love it, they love it. It was actually a cake trolley, so I used to make some nice and decorated, uh-huh. well decorated. So for me it was like a dream coming true, because since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated by this country, by England. I always wanted to learn the language, so just took the chance and leave the country, even if I leave my country, even if I love it, but I wanted to do this experience. So I had an amazing time that kept me there between 1990 and 1997 until I realized that my roots were calling me back home. So I came back. I still obviously have good memories of England. I miss it a little bit, but I still love to be in Sicily, my hometown, with my family, friends, and so on.
So you found this hotel because it's also your hometown, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask again about mentors. What pastry chefs in particular influenced you?
Well, the pastry chef that influenced me was the first one I used to work for. When I was, I was telling before, talking about the first experience right. when I was a little boy. So, in a pastry shop, there used to be this chef. He was the owner of the shop, obviously. And he actually taught me how to make desserts day after day. So he was my actual teacher.
Now, what sorts of desserts do you do here? You do the morning pastries too, do you not?
Absolutely, yeah. I do the morning pastry, the pastries for the a la carte or for weddings, because we do weddings as well in this hotel, plus a banqueting. So I actually create all the cakes for this any occasion.
And bread?
No, unfortunately not.
No.
Because I haven't got the time enough. But
I like the breadsticks. That's why I asked.
All right.
Tell us that you are obviously, you do seasonal desserts. You have a lot of good fruit, seasonal fruit. And
absolutely. Well, mainly must say that my desserts are created with Sicilian flavors by using products coming from my region, like chocolate from Modica, a district of Ragusa, or the popular pistachio of Bronte, a district close to Catania, and still the scent of almonds from Agrigento, which we make a delicious marzipan. And then again, the ricotta cheese. You must know the ricotta cheese. Everyone knows the ricotta cheese. I think it's unique. With ricotta cheese, you can add a little bit of sugar, and then you can make as many as desserts that you would wish to do. Amongst these, there is a cassata, obviously.
Everybody wants to know how to make cassata. Isn't it a lot of work?
Well, it's not easy. It seems to be easy to make a cassata, but it's not. I must say that cassata, to be honest with you, is actually my favorite dessert. It's probably because I grew up with this traditional cake. But still, I strongly believe that it's an amazing masterpiece.
What's in a cassata?
Yeah, it's made with soft sponge, marzipan, ricotta cheese, chocolate chips, and decorated with candied fruits. It's so colorful.
That's beautiful.
It recalls the typical Sicilian Baroque style. Uh-huh. That's why it's so nice, too.
It is over the top a bit.
a little bit, but it's nice. Some people think it's too sweet, but...
Well, Sicilian desserts are sweet, aren't they?
Well, to be honest with you, I always try and make less sweet than everybody.
The cannoli aren't that sweet. They're very good, aren't they?
I think they are. For example, in a ricotta cheese, usually pastry chefs put nearly 400 grams of sugar per 1 kilo of ricotta. I usually put 200 grams of sugar instead of 400 to make it less sweet. So when I made the cassata, obviously it's not as sweet as you could probably think.
Is there anything else our listeners should know about your dessert program here at the Kempinski?
Fantastic.
Well, you see, pastry in Sicily is as much important as cuisine, I think. It's like creating a painting. I also think it's a balance of colors and flavors, rare art. That's what we are, and forgive me if I'm too proud of it.
Artists.
It is.
And do you make those wonderful marzipan?
I do, obviously, yeah.
That's art?
It is art indeed. Actually, by the way, we make those, this is the right period of making those marzipan that you're talking about.
Why, there's a period?
Yeah, there is.
Seasonal? Because,
yeah, no, it's just we celebrate between the 1st and 2nd of November the death. So we make, for this occasion, a marzipan to recall us, all the people who left this planet, this world.
Oh.
So it's a tradition. We give it to the...
Exactly,
yeah, for the old sense. So we give it, we actually give it as a gift to the children, to, again, remind us all the people left this world.
And what do these marzipans have a special shape?
Yes, they've got fruit shape, any kind of fruit shape.
So it's like the ones we've seen in pastry shops. And,
absolutely, yes.
We see them all. They're genuine looking.
Yeah.
Remember we laughed about the Nespori. Because the Nespori looked like they're rotten because they have black dots all over them, and the marzipan ones are the same.
Exactly. You don't get Nespoli in America, I guess.
No,
was
we
it
don't.
The first time for you to.
No, we have seen them in Italy because we come here often.
All right. Okay.
And I think we might have seen them in another country, but I'm not certain. What I wanted to say in conclusion is, listeners, if you're into sweets, and many people in my English family are. I have a suggestion for you. Turn your day's consumption totally around and begin with dessert for breakfast. And then you can turn it all back and have dessert after dinner at the end of the day. And in between, have the wonderful savory dishes from Chef. And be sure to have some seafood because we went with him yesterday to the port of Mazara. So we know that he goes there and gets the best fish that's available all the time. So although some of the things that he likes are different, seafood is always the way to go here at Kempinski and anywhere in Sicily for that matter. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us
this
morning. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, the only thing I can say next is this is just a place you have to come. It's less than an hour from the Palermo airport. It's less than an hour from the Trapani airport. It's in a delightful part of Sicily that isn't mobbed with tourists. We can't wait to come back. And we will be back after a short break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, we're back again. You know, I think we got a little lapse at our manners. We forgot to either wish people a happy Thanksgiving or say, I hope you did have a happy Thanksgiving last Thursday.
Yeah, I guess we did forget that, didn't we?
Yeah. So
time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. Now, next up, though, we had such a wonderful experience at this place because we felt like they were all family by the time we left.
Yeah, it's called
there is a family atmosphere to
it. It's called the Falconara Charming House and Resort, which sort of gives you a clue. One of the fascinating things is during the time we stayed there, it was Peter's birthday. And guess what? The kitchen at Falconara, unbidden, made a cake, which we shared with the staff and also with other diners at the restaurant because it was such a large and beautiful cake.
Yeah, well, they can see a picture of it on our website. Actually.
They can. There's a picture of me smiling and threatening to cut a piece out of it. Looks like I'm about to stab it.
It actually did.
I look a little bit like Lady Macbeth. but seriously, folks, the general manager, who's one of the owners of this resort, and his team took excellent care of us, and the whole lot of them sat down and talked to us. So here's the team at Falconara Charming House and Resort, which, by the way, is close to Agrigento. It's between Agrigento and Ragusa, but right on the coast, and the nearest town is Licata, and the nearest town you don't want to go to is called Gela. So it's in that general vicinity and a very convenient place to stay.
Well, here we are at Falconara, which is a hotel resort where we have been staying and having a marvelous time, primarily because of the level of hospitality and the personalities of the people who staff this place. We're going to be talking to a group. We have with us Johnny Miani, who has become close to a relative. He's been so wonderful to us, who's the resort manager. We have the executive chef, who's Domenico Zaya, an unusual name, but it's beautiful, Zaya. And then we have a woman who's been absolutely essential to facilitating our whole visit, Renata Scalia, who is going to be helping us translate. Of course, Johnny speaks English, and Domenico will speak in Italian because he has so much to express. And then we'll have Renata translate that. Allora, let's begin. First of all, I think that, Johnny, you've been here not very long, but you have a total handle on this place. Where are we? I didn't mention.
Well, we are here just 9 months right now. We just started this operation just because it was a company before. And then we are managing this place that is 65 rooms, a resort with a swimming pool, with a beach, a private beach that is with a fantastic view on a castle. And then we have a spa center that is fascinating all our guests. And then, of course, all the restaurants and the bars that are here at the disposal of our guests anyway.
Yes, and it's so conveniently located. We've gone all around doing what we wanted during the day to come
back. We are very close to the famous town of Agrigento, and very well known all around the world just because of the old history that they have. And then very close to Piazza Marina, another fantastic place here in Sicily.
Which I love.
That you love. And then we have, Catania is just 100 kilometers from here, so the airport is not so difficult to join and to reach. And I think that is a very fantastic position because we are on the sea.
Now, everyone wants to know about food. You do breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah, we are doing all of that just because, of course, we are ready to satisfy all the expectations of our guests, starting from the breakfast. It is a fantastic view of the sea. It's made in a dining room in a nice terrace when the weather is sunny. And then everybody can stay outside, staying with our buffet that is prepared with the fresh food that every single day we provide to our guests.
I ask for my eggs at breakfast and give the minute of cooking, and that's what the kitchen does. I mean, they're wonderful. Okay. Now, let's talk to Domenico, Chef Domenico. How long have you been here, Chef?
Buonasera, mi chiamo Domenico Zaia. Io lavoro qui da circa un anno al Falconara Resort con il compito di chef.
Our chef Domenico Zaia has been working here for 1 year as executive chef.
But now, Domenico, where were you born? Dove nato? Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got here. First of all, how did you become a chef? Why did you become a chef? And how did you get to this Falconara resort?
Allora, la mia vita è iniziata con il mondo gastronomico all'età di 14 anni. Ho incominciato a frequentare i primi ristoranti e pizzerie e questo mondo mi ha sempre affascinato. E da un certo punto ho cambiato anche i lavori, ho fatto altre cose, però il mondo della gastronomia, dell'arte culinaria mi ha sempre molto appassionato. E sono ritornato dentro questo mondo e non sono mai più uscito. E da lì ho continuato il mio percorso, un po' in Italia, e dopo un certo periodo sono andato in Germania, frequentando sempre questo mondo, l'arte culinaria.
I started to be a chef when I was 14 years old, and I've been working in different restaurants, small places, not such important places, but once started this kind of career, I never wanted to stop it, since I was really fond of it. I've been living in Germany for different years, then returned to Italy, but never leaving the gourmet world.
This restaurant is called
Pure Emozioni.
which is pure emotions. And you have a mission statement.
Yeah.
Johnny, will you tell us your mission here?
Okay, so the restaurant Pure Emotions of the Falconara Charming House and Resort is an explosion of flavors that will transport you to a new, fresh, and contemporary feeling, but in respect of the ancient traditions. The energy of the Falconara Resort team is unique and is perceived, and as you get in and take shape as more and more while it takes you to your table. Pure Emotions Kitchen, through the vision of our chef Domenico, becomes an immersive experience thanks to the young waiting staff that is assisting you in your choices to combine our culinary proposals to the best wines of our island.
Well, that's quite a mission.
I think that is the successful of all this operation is to be a team of people that is starting since the when you get in the hotel, and then since that you decide to stay here for dinner, and to see that everybody of the team is welcoming you in the right way, and to be happy to have the guests here and to go over with that.
I just want to give you an example of what hospitality is like, because yesterday was my birthday, and they made me a cake.
Wow.
now that's hospitality. I'm not sure they knew how was my birthday. Maybe they were reading my passport.
I hope that the cake was good enough.
We're actually hoping that you'll all help us to eat it tonight, because we were out last night. It is being kept in the refrigerator for us today, and I believe we're all going to share it later on.
Okay.
Not only that, everyone that we encountered in the hotel said, "Peter, happy birthday." Okay, now back to Domenico. How do you meet the challenges of this mission? First of all, how would you tell people who want to come to dine here what to expect in terms of what interests you in cooking, your style, things you'd like to do, how you do them?
Innanzitutto noi cerchiamo sempre di essere molto cordiali con i nostri clienti. Una volta che vengono qui a provare la nostra cucina, facciamo tutto il possibile perché riconoscono i nostri sapori, prodotti tipici siciliani. Alla riscoperta di questi sapori, che sono per me la terra molto ambita su questi sapori forti, che si crede, si sentono, si ha voglia di manipolarli in cucina e fare capire alle persone che cosa veramente stanno mangiando. Il modo di comprarli, il modo di trattarli, il modo di tutti i giorni dare una freschezza a quel che si fa. Tutti i giorni quello che si cucina nella maniera di andare a prendere il pesce al porto, portarlo qui,
wow,
e pulirlo, vederlo, parlargli, lo squami, lo pulisci, lo metti sulla brace, senti i suoi odori, i suoi sapori, e cercare di avere un feeling con quello che tu cucini, una sensazione di non fargli anche del male quello che tu stai facendo, e cercare di valorizzare quella materia prima che tu dai. Questi sono le nostre più belle, i nostri obiettivi, diciamo così, cercando di stupirci all'idea che il cliente si possa alzare e dirci.
What is a plus of our island is the welcoming spirit of the people, and it tries to put it even in the food, in the service, in everything that represents our restaurant, starting from the welcoming of the staff, but also for the food he wants to propose to guests. And the food itself is represent the authentic value of our island. Is really fond of this island, of the characteristics and peculiarities of the island. And what is most important for us is to propose to our guests this fresh fish, the fresh food.
Just to help the translation of Domenico, that Domenico is a person that has a lot of passion. And then the personality,
we can see that, yes.
The personality that you can feel when you meet him at the table, because it's a particularity, is to come during the dinner and saying hello to the guest and having a look at what's going on with the service. And so in this possibility, that he can communicate about the products, where they are getting the products, where they are from, and they are, and it is ready always to give the answers in the case that is something that the guest doesn't know, and so to try to explain how different dishes are prepared. And so this is the secret even of the success of the operation. And first of all, as Renata, she was saying a few seconds ago, and then every single day we are going to the port and visiting our friends, the fishers there. They are bringing us the freshest fish that is coming from the sea every single day. So I think that this is the basic of the success of operation.
I understand, because this is the current operation is new and evolving and is a work in progress. But as of now, I'm looking to tonight. There is a tasting menu which consists of four courses, and you have one choice in each of those courses. I'd just like to mention what some of those are. The first one that I'm zooming in on is cream of black beans with a certain specific prawn, spaghetti with fennel and anchovies and capers, which what could ever be wrong with that? It's fabulous. And then we've got skewers of sea bass and shrimp on frappe of basil and broccoli. And then those of you who cannot resist, and I have to say, I am not a sweets person. I do not have a sweet tooth. But I was raised on this, and I will have the Sicilian cannolo. I adore them. I'm looking really forward to this meal tonight, Chef. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
I've già detto tutto.
Oh, he's done it. He's gonna speak further in his cooking for tonight with us.
That is the best way. Yeah.
And I should mention before we go that there's also a in progress developing wine program.
Yep.
On staff is a full-time sommelier, a full-time pastry chef, as well.
Correct.
As our executive chef.
So thank you all for joining us on this program.
Thank you.
It's really fascinating. We should note that the little town of Licata, which is just a mere 10 kilometers away from here, I forecast it's going to become a hotbed of fine cuisine. In a way, it already is, because in this program or another program from Sicily, I'm not sure which, you will hear from Pino Cataia, who is the chef of a restaurant called La Madia, which has customers who drive regularly from Calabria 5 hours away to dine. They must drive home without staying at Falconara. You must do a deal there to stop that from happening. It sounds really quite dangerous. There's another small restaurant. The name of it, can you say that on the?
Oste e Sacristano.
Third in that group. I project he's going to be Domenico and Falconara. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us, and arrivederci.
Thank you.
And it's time for a break, but don't go away, because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, this next place reminds me of a warm and sunny day. We did just so swell eating al fresco and finished up just before the rains hit. and then it rained.
And then it rained. We had just nicely finished lunch, and we were off checking out how you make olives into olive oil.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And
they make wonderful olive oil. Well, Bali means farm. I understand, right?
It's sort of like a semi-fortified farm, I think.
Uh-huh.
And really, really interesting roots.
It's an agroturismo.
It's an agroturismo.
Stay there and eat there. And
they make olive oil. They occasionally make wine, which was really quite excellent. It was a fascinating
group. The olive oil is brilliant, though.
Yeah, the owner, this property's been in her family for a couple of centuries or so, which is quite common in Italy. Her daughter was visiting, so that was really handy, because she was able to help with translation. And we talked to the people who cooked our lunch as well. So Balio Fontana Salsa, just on the outskirts of Trapani, on the very northwest corner of Sicily. Here they are.
Well, we have had yet one more beautiful day, an autumn day, and we are at a Balio, called Fontana Salsa, which is going to be explained, actually, by Rosa Laura Grotto, who is the daughter of Maria Caterina Bugarella, whose family owns the Balio, which Rosa is going to explain. And we will be talking to all these people, as well as two chefs, Vincenzo and Rosa. And we had a fabulous meal, but I want, first of all, to get some background. If I could ask Rosa Laura Grotto, who's the daughter of the family that owns this Balio. What is a Balio? And this is also agriturismo. Could you tell us, what is that, Rosa?
So the Balio is a kind of very ancient structure that was originally thought to protect the products of the harvest from outside. And it has this structure with an inner square court, okay. And all the other building are around the inner court where you had lunch today.
We ate outside and it was gorgeous.
And basically, this is a name that comes from an Arab word, Bahal.
Oh.
Yes. And in fact, it is a structure that dates back, not our structure, but basically the kind of architecture dates back to the period where Arabs were here in Sicily 1,000 years ago. And our Balio is from the 17th century. And since then, here we have been, my family and other families before have been practicing agriculture and harvest and olive oil production.
Yes, you make olive oil, yeah. You make wine.
Basically, olive oil is the...
And it's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes, we're actually
A typical olive oil from this area.
We're going to actually ask your mother, Maria Caterina, to tell us. We started with a sampling of wonderful olive oils. We had three kinds, then we had a mixed, and then we had a fresh. Could you just talk to us a bit about the kinds of olive oils and what they're used for?
So you have tasted three kinds of monovarietal oils. They come from some special olives. The Biancolilla olive is a cultivar. The second cultivar is Cerasuola. And the third one is Nocellara. The Biancolilla is a very light oil that we use just for fish or for delicate sauces. And wholesome pastry. The second one is the Cerasuola di Pacheco of this area is a medium fruity that we use for fat fish, for white meat, or for salad, every kind of salad. The third one is stronger. We use this one, is a Nocellara del Belice, and we use this oil for beans, for cheese, and for red meat. We have started with these three varieties, but in 2000, the European law started with DOP is the denomination origin protected. And as in the country, the trees are all together, they are not a special cultivation of Biancolilla or Cerasuola or Nocellara. They are all together. The normal harvest, the normal oil is with the three varieties together. And so we came back producing as the whole time three varieties of oils.
I think what happens is you're actually blending quantities of the three different olive varieties.
We have the disciplinary, we have a special law for this, and they say that a Trapani must have 80% of Cerasuola or Nocellara, and just 20% of other.
Okay, so the regulations dictate.
There is a special regulation.
What is in the blend?
Here we do a blend with quite 67% of Cerasuola and about 20 of Nocellara and just 10 of Biancolilla.
Now the ultimate part of our tasting was we tasted the oil that you just pressed.
Yes, you have tasted the new one.
How many days ago?
Oh, I think 3 or 4 days
ago. 3 or 4 days
ago. Very, very new.
And it was so wonderfully nutty and peppery. And it's the way you would want to have olive oil every day of the year if you could.
It is very good, the new one.
That Peter kept pouring it all over everything we ate. It was swimming in this olive oil. He loved it so much. It was very good.
Thank you, madam.
Let's talk a bit to our chefs here. We started with antipasti, assorted antipasti that were typical of this region of Sicily. Who made the antipasti? Who would like to tell us what they were? Vincenzo. Sì.
Allora, la caponata delle melanzane, che è roba siciliana, devo dire gli ingredienti, no? Allora, ci sono melanzane, sedano, olive, cipolla, aceto, zucchero, cappera. Poi si fa tutto con succo di pomodoro. Si friggono ogni parte, poi si aggiunge tutto assieme e si fa la caponata e si serve fredda.
Then, that was just the start of our meal. who would like to talk also? Would Signora like to talk about the wonderful wine we had?
The wine is that I do is just a little quantity. Is a Merlot variety, and this wine I did for the memorial of my mother. And the name of my mother was Aurelia, and so Aureliano is a wine for Aurelia. I started with this wine just because having agritourism, it was necessary to have a special wine for us. And so I started with this, but it was so good, this wine, that I participated to a special concourse, and I had the first Harvard in Italy with this wine.
Ah, it was
come
delicious.
Si dice, la medaglia d'oro. A golden medal. In 202, in a agriculture ministerial concourse for wines produced from ladies.
It was world class. I mean, this is no table wine. This is world class wine. Now, Rosa, what is your specialty to cook? Did you do the pasta?
Allora, gli ingredienti sono pomodoro, mandorle, olio di oliva extravergine, poi basilico, sale, pepe quando basta. Tutto si trita tutto insieme. E poi la pasta non si cuoce, va a crudo. Sì. E poi le busiate. Avete mangiato le busiate? Sì. Una pasta fatta in mano con un fuso. C'è una bacchettina dove si avvolge la pasta e viene così attorcigliata.
The way of preparing the traditional pesto trapanese, which is done with raw tomato, almonds, extra virgin olive oil,
basil,
lot of basil and garlic, fresh garlic, and it's all prepared raw, and it is used on a special kind of pasta that is again produced in Trapani, handmade pasta called busiata trapanese.
That's what it's called, because yes. Oh, it's wonderful. It's thick enough to carry the sauce.
It's a kind of pasta that is obtained by rolling the pasta on a wooden stick so that it gets the traditional
shape.
Oh,
that's how you do it. Okay. Yeah. All right, and we had wonderful fresh salad, which was wonderful, this insalata mixed mista. And then we had pork stuffed with vegetables, cauliflower. And how was the cauliflower fixed?
Com'era
Vincenzo?
Era semplicemente bollito con olio di nocellata.
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 Okay. And
Boiled with we do this cauliflower just boiled, not too much cooked, with fresh nocellara olive oil.
Okay.
A strong taste one.
That's beautiful. And the pork.
Con le verdure di dentro, fatto a forno. Cioè prima era tutto tagliato, si prende il filetto, si divide in tre parti, si ci mette le verdure, si avvolge, si mette a forno per 20 minuti. Un po' di coperta con la carta oliata, poi si ci mette di sopra del vino bianco e dell'olio della casa e si mette a forno per 20 minuti.
So this is a pork filetto that is baked with fresh vegetables, then it gets rolled and in a special kind of paper for cooking so that it remains soft. And olive oil and white wine is poured on it in the end of the cooking, which is lasts about 20 minutes to get it ready.
I've never had pork stuffed with vegetables before. Is that the trapanese?
Sì, sì, è una tradizione siciliana, italiana.
Siciliana.
In Sicily, lots of meat is done with this way of putting vegetables inside to have the meat more tasty.
Che sono verdure fresche dell'orto di qua.
Sì, there are fresh vegetables from the garden here.
So, and then Vincenzo, you were explaining to me the dolce, the dessert. And tell me about the dessert.
Prendono le cotogne, si mette su una teglia con un po' di acqua. Un'oretta e mezza si mettono a forno. Poi quando si esce da forno, si aprono e si condiscono come volete, con lo zucchero a velo, con lo zucchero caramellato. E si può condire in tanti modi, sempre su dolce.
È gelato all'olio che va.
The glass you have tasted this today gelato. Is an olive an extra virgin olive oil glass, just with biancolilla, nothing else, no more, just oil.
So tasty.
And Rosa made this glass.
Il gelato si fa intanto con lo zucchero e una base di preparato per gelato, della chiara d'uovo e dell'olio bianco lilla. Solo questo.
Fruit is what?
So the fruit is a kind of very rustic, ancient kind of apple that we have in this area. I know the name in Spanish is melacoton, but I don't know the name in English, unfortunately, which is not very sweet when it's raw. But then if you cook for a long time, and in fact it was cooked for 1 hour and a half, it becomes soft and sweet. And it was served with sugar, caramel, and today together with the gelato made with our biancolilla oil, that is a very very special kind of gelato that Rosa explained how to do. The peculiarity is that the only fat, kind of fat, in this gelato is from biancolilla oil.
And one of the things that your mother told us earlier on is that the University of Pennsylvania, we think, came to study olive oils all over Sicily and discovered that the ones that were being produced here had the largest quantity of something. I think they're like phenols or something like that, which are the very healthy components of an olive oil. And the olive oils from here were some of the richest that they had found anywhere in Sicily, and Sicilian olive oil as opposed to olive oils in the rest of the world, I think. But let's do some geographical parameters, because it feels like we're in the heart of rural in a balio which has been here for hundreds of years, and yet the entrance to the Aurostrada between Palermo and Trapani and Mazara del Vallo is less than 2 kilometers away. So it's an extraordinarily convenient place if you're driving from Palermo, or if you're driving from the southern part of the island as we did, from Mazara del Vallo or from Marsala. It's really close to the airport.
Trapani Airport is 3 kilometers and a half.
Three and a half kilometers
5 minutes.
Away. So it's one of those places where you can transform from the modern world that some of us think is totally crazy to an older time when things were not so crazy and life just seemed to move along at a much nicer pace. So for us, it has been a delight to be here. I know the property has a website. You can stay here. There's a true agriturismo. They have rooms that you can stay here, so you can have dinner as well as lunch. And all these wonderful people will take care of you. You can drink more different kinds of wine. You can sample some more olive oil. What's the website?
www.fontanasalsa.it.
So we are so delighted that we had the opportunity to be here. Sweetheart, do you have a last question?
I think that it's everybody in the courtyard where we were having our lunch was having such a good time, and everyone seemed so happy. Except for your dog. The dog. No one was giving your dog enough to eat. But everybody else was just relaxed and happy. And I saw some guests even sneak some of the ripe grapes off your vines. It's a delight. I thank you so much for welcoming us into your world.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure to have you here. And we hope it will be only the first time for you.
We will come again, not for walking, just for your holidays.
And we have one more brief segment before we complete today's program, and we'll be right back for that after a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
We stay, talk about rain. It was pouring down rain when we arrived in Catania. And our first stop was at a place called Casa Talia, which I gather is something like a great view, like Buena Vista.
And certainly Casa Talia in Modica sits on the hillside opposite the main town of Modica, so with absolutely beautiful views.
And Modica is the place where you go for chocolate and the best pasticcerie in the
And the most incredible Baroque architecture staring you in the face at the window.
And lots of stairs, and just lots, be prepared
lots
for,
and lots of stairs.
Get your knees in shape.
Yep, peated lots of stairs. The proprietor who we talked to, and you'll be hearing from her shortly, said it would take me 5 minutes to get down there and perhaps a little longer to come back. It took me 10 minutes to get down there, and we will not record how long it took me to get back, but I can tell you that I was breathing heavily and perspiring freely when I did that. But that's partly because I was carrying a snack and a bottle of wine for Anne to have for dinner. What a devoted husband I am. Anyway, the next morning we had the opportunity to catch up with one of the owners and partners of Casa Talia. Yeah,
and this place has a special style to it because of the owner. She is an architect and he is the designer, so it's really stylish and charming.
And you'll hear about that coming up right now.
Right. We are in an absolutely charming inn. I don't know what code. It's called Casa Talia in Modica, and in particular Modica Bassa. And we will be talking to the owner, who with her husband own this establishment. She is an architect and her husband a designer, so you can expect to find an absolutely wonderful architectural design center in this place, as well as great views, beautiful views over the whole city. To begin with, this is Viviana Haddad, a Milan transplant. Viviana, tell us about the city, Modica. And Modica Bassa.
Modica is really the beautiful town and is in the southeast of Sicily, in the middle of the UNESCO area. The name is Barocco Valley of this part. And we are in the historical center. When we are, you can see all the monuments, all church, and very nice view. We are also in near to the main street, Corso Umberto, and it's very easy to visit the town walking everywhere.
But so, a lot of steps.
Yes, there are a lot of steps, yes, because Modica was constructed in the valley. So we have the different level in the town. And, of course, many stairs.
But it's beautiful. Yeah.
But it's beautiful for this reason. Yes.
And Peter walked the stairs the night we got here, so he can say, Viviana said it would take 5 minutes to go down. It actually took about 10 minutes, and it took twice as long to come back up. I was perspiring and breathing heavily when I got back here.
Yeah.
But the situation is really quite remarkable for Casa Talia, which I think Talia means view anywhere, Viviana, correct?
Yes, in the Sicilian dialect, Talia is like a sea.
It's
wonderful. When you see something in Sicilian dialect, you can say Talia che bello.
Okay, huh? The view. Okay, what a beautiful view.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing is this is not only, though, a historical city with wonderful Baroque architecture. It's also very much a city that people live in.
Yeah.
So in the evening when I was there and during the day yesterday as we drove through the town, there's an awful lot going on. This is a very busy little town.
Yes, of course.
So it's both ancient, if you like, and historical and modern at the same time.
And authentic, yes.
And one of the most remarkable things, I suppose, we said earlier on that we have an architect and a designer at work who decided to develop this place, and what a brilliant idea to be on the other side of the river valley so that you have the advantage of the view. After all, if we were in the center of the city of Modica, we would not see Modica Bassa. We would see the hillside on the other side. So we are opposite, yes. And now it's time, Viviana, if you could tell us more about Casa Talia.
How big, how many people?
We have 8 rooms for maximum 20 people. Our house is inside the hotel, so when the guests arrive, it's like to have a friend in my house. So the concept is absolutely different than the standard hotel. Also, the hotel in the middle of the garden.
Oh, the gardens are wonderful.
Yes, the concept is to have the room around the garden. So the guests can stay outside a lot, and the guests can stay in the garden, but in the same time in the middle of the historical center. So you have the quiet atmosphere, the silence, you can't listen the car, the noise.
It's a pedestrian area.
It's a pedestrian area, but in the same time you are very close to the main streets.
And each room is designed differently?
Yes, each room is inspired one country of the Mediterranean area.
Oh, so what is this? We're in the breakfast room, and it's very Moorish.
Yes, of course. And I like so much the Moorish architecture, the Arabic architecture. And I think in Sicily, in the past, many population, many culture, right. Through the...
It's a corridor country.
Yes, the Sicilian island. So the Sicilian culture is like the fusion with many other culture, Arabic, French,
Spanish.
And in the project, in the room, I joke with this.
You play with it.
I play with this, yes. So every room is inspired to Spain or to Morocco or France or Greece. So, but not like imitation, but inspiration, the suggestion. And I like to use the element. And you have in the Sicilian culture, but at the same time, the same element are in the... For example, Spain culture, because in the Sicilian architecture there are many elements from the other architectural style from now, the other country.
We should add, though, that even though you started with a pretty bare bones, humble Sicilian houses, the result of the decoration and the construction. You couple modern amenities. The lighting is very sophisticated, and the plumbing is very sophisticated. So there's no hardship here. It's not roughing it. It's quiet luxury, I would say.
Yes. Right. I think an hotel with every comfort, with every technology, but... in the old house, I don't like to see the technology system. So, yes, so in the room you have all comfort, but you can see this. And you have just the atmosphere, the nice atmosphere, Sicilian atmosphere with the design lamp or furniture. I like so much the fusion with the contemporary furniture and old object from Sicily. Yes. Or for other culture. So, and use a lot the material typical in this area.
Well, I love the ceilings. They're all bamboo.
Yes.
Which is a very sustainable material.
Yes. It's typical in Modica, this system.
Oh, it is typical.
Yes, it's really typical. And when we restore it, we decide to use this technical system for the roof. And also we decide to use for the floor, the stone or the tile, typical in Modica.
The ceramic.
Yes, the ceramic.
Floors.
Yes, and also we restored every room with the ecology project. So with
so
a
you're
bio,
sustainable.
Yes, sustainable architecture.
Well, it's a delight, and of course there is a breakfast available also with the room, and you're close to restaurants and shops, so it's really an ideal place and a good base of operation to reach other cities in the area. Well, we've enjoyed it thoroughly, Viviana, and thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Great.
So that's all we have for another week. We hope you'll join us once again for more Sicily or more of whatever it is that's on our menu. Same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.